to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, we've been doing a little series here. I looked at when God doesn't make any sense. And how many of you know sometimes God doesn't make any sense? At least as far as we can tell. So we looked at that. We looked at when God gets our attention. And today, I want to look at the call of God. Because sometimes God calls and we don't hear or we don't respond. And I think that if we're going to do anything with our lives, we need to respond to the call of God. And God is calling each and every one of us. And I remember watching a TV show where people were talking about the mobile phones coming on. I actually saw this just the other day. Mobile phones are just coming in. And one person says to the other, "That's useless. Who wants a phone that you carry with you? No one's going to want that." Well, it turns out everyone in the whole world wants that. We all want to stay in touch. And so maybe God is calling you on the phone. The situation in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is you've got Eli the priest, Samuel the trainee. They were sleeping in the temple, and Samuel was around 12 years of age at this point. And he heard a voice call his name, Samuel. And he went to Eli, the old man, and he said, did you call me? And Eli said, "I never called you." This happened twice. And then on the third time, which we're going to pick up the passage here in a minute, on the third time, the old man suddenly twigged and realized that the boy must be hearing God. So if we pick it up at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. Shout out to you guys up in the chapel. Thank you for being up there. One day the protocols are going to change and you can come and join us. But for the moment, you are quarantined and we love you for it. Also to our house party out there, shout out to the gang out there. We love you guys too. It'd be nice to be back together again, wouldn't it? I was going to throw a football in the middle and just, we could all pile in, you know. But anyway, it's another story. 1 Samuel 3 verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So Samuel has no idea who the Lord, well, he knows who he is, but he has no relationship with God. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived, finally, that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel goes and lays down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, in Israel, which will make the two ears of everyone who hears it to tingle." That sounds pretty prolific, doesn't it? Tingly ears. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, as we study your word, that we would realize that you are calling us and that we would not only hear, Lord, but that we would obey. And we just ask that you would search us and know us and challenge us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. You've got one life. I've studied for ages and I've figured this out. You've got one life. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is the only life that you get. One life. Hebrews 9:27 says this, "Just as man is appointed to die once, and after that the judgment." So if you're into reincarnation, think again, because you don't go round and round and round. You live once, you die, and then after that is the judgment. Man is appointed to die once. Now, so this life that we're living is not a dress rehearsal. We're not here making a trial run. It's not a computer game. You can't sort of hit a button or a little heart somewhere and you get another life. Or you hit something else and your health sort of increases. Wouldn't that be great? You know, I could hit a button. Ooh, look at that. I'm healthy. It doesn't work that way in real life. You can't click some magic button and get a new life. This is the only life you will ever get. So when I think about God's calling on your one life, my question is, what are you doing with this life? This one life, are you wasting it? Are you investing your life in things that will never last? In things that are temporal rather than eternal. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says this. Paul writes, "As we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." You see, the stuff you can't see, heaven, hell, all of that sort of stuff is eternal. But the stuff you see is temporary. Now the Bible teaches, it makes it clear that there are only three things that are eternal. Only three things that will live forever. Your house, not going to live. Your car, not going to live. I know that's a shame for some of you guys. You know, there are three things that are eternal. The first one is God. in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. And that word everlasting means from before time was began or measured to after time is done, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. So God lives forever. The second thing is his word, Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, Jesus said. So you might think the Bible's just something you put on the shelf. I'm telling you, the Bible is the word of God and it lasts forever. It will be here forever. It will be here when everybody, you know, everything we see is gone, the Bible will remain. I love that story of Voltaire. Voltaire was a humanist. He was a French guy, humanist and a philosopher. And he completely criticized the Bible. He said in 100 years, the Bible will just be in a museum. No one's going to be reading it anywhere. It's going to be dead and finished. 100 years almost to the day, his house became the headquarters for the Bible Society. Isn't that cool? God has a sense of humor. The third thing that lives forever is the souls of men and women. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. See, people live forever. You know, I once heard a comedian say, I'm going to live forever, so far, so good. But he's right. He's going to live forever. Either in heaven or in hell, the Bible teaches, but he will live forever. So if anything we build in this life that does not focus on one of those three things will amount to naught. God, his word, and the souls of men and women. They're the important things that will last. So your comforts, your castle, your car, your career, gone. Food, fitness, fun amounts to none because it's not going to be here ultimately when the world finishes. Only one life. Will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. See, you get one life only, and you can waste your one life pursuing things that have no value. You can waste your one life by harboring unforgiveness. You can waste your one life sitting in front of the TV. How many people do this? They sit in front of the TV, and that's their whole life. You can waste your one life doing that. You can waste your one life by giving into your lusts and your pleasures. We heard the account of Brittany there before. How she followed all these paths and all she did was dig a deeper hole for herself. You can decide right now that you don't want any of that. You want to make your one life count. How many lives have you got? One. So we need to make it count. So my question to you is, are you tuned in? You see, God is calling every one of us constantly, but, you know, are we listening? Do we hear? TV channels, if you don't realize it, like if you look at me and there's like space between us, okay, but that space is not empty. It's filled with all sorts of radio waves and digital TV waves and all that sort of stuff. You can't see them. If you could see them, you'd be amazed. It's got Wi-Fi signal and cell phone signal, all this sort of stuff. It's happened, but you can't see it, but it's happening in between us, in the air around us. You see, if you could see those things, you would be amazed. And when you turn on your TV, it receives all of the channels all of the time. Did you know that? The thing is, if you got all of the channels all of the time, you couldn't make any sense out of it. If every channel appeared on the screen at the same time, your TV would be useless, wouldn't it? Could you imagine that? It would be out of control. It would be like a three-year-old's party. People, stuff going everywhere, you can't understand anything. But here's the facts. When you tune to a specific frequency, you only get that channel. The TV is picking them all up, but when you tune to that frequency, it picks up that one channel and gives it to you. So if you tune, for example, to 564.5 megahertz, you get channel 9. You knew that, didn't you? How many people knew that? Did you know that 550.5 megahertz gives you channel 10? There you go. You've learned something in church. Good for you. And in the same way, we have millions and millions and millions of voices demanding our attention. And what we have to do is to tune to the ones that are the most important. You might tune to your own needs, your desires, your loved ones, your career, your house. But God is also there and God is constantly broadcasting to you. And the question is, what are you going to tune into? Are you going to tune into him or tune into something else? John 8:47 says this. Jesus said, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. He was speaking to Pharisees. He was talking to religious people there. He said, the problem with you religious guys is you can't hear because you're not of God, so you're not picking up that frequency. You know, it's like men are from Mars, women are from Venus. They're on a different wavelength. You know, and how many of you know that? How many of you have experienced that? How many of you have suffered for that? Absolutely, you know. And you've got all the five love languages. My love language is the thing that I like the most is words of encouragement. My wife's love language is time. That hurts because I haven't got any. And so I have to make time. She said to me, unless you make quality time with me, you're going to get words, but they won't be of encouragement. And so you've got to tune in on the right thing. So are you of God? Are you tuned into hearing his voice? So are you hard of hearing or are you hard of heart? See, hearing God's call is one thing, and I understand that some of you might have trouble hearing God. That's okay. It's something that you learn and grow into. But some of you have sensed the call of God on your life, but you've ignored it because and you don't want to respond because you're worried that it might cost you something. And it will. The calling has a cost. If you want to move into the calling and the destiny God has for you, it's going to cost you. But it is a cost, I believe, worth paying. Remember, you have only one life. If you mess this up, you're done. That's it for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, we know this verse well, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know that verse? We love that verse. Plans to give us a hope and a future. That's really cool. I love that. I'll hear that verse. That's fantastic. But then we forget that just two verses later, God says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So we want all the blessing. Oh, Lord, bless us. Give us all this great stuff. But we don't seek him. And if we don't seek him, we don't pick up on the things that he has for us. Today, every person here, up in the chapel, at the house party, on the internet, whoever's tuning in, you all face a choice right now. You can either be hearing or you can be hardening. Because it's going to be one or the other. Which will it be? So let me look at some of the possible responses to the hearing the call of God. Because we do get different responses. And I don't think we really realize how we respond when God calls us. When God called Samuel, he said, you know, here I am, Lord. When God called Isaiah, he said, here I am. What are you going to say when God calls you? Well, look, some of the responses is this. You might say, I can't do anything. I'm too young. That's the first one. See, I'd vote for him. Some of you here feel that you're too young to answer God's call. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 says this. This is from Jeremiah. This is the calling of Jeremiah when he was a young boy. Listen to this. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So he said, well, God, I'm too young to do this. But he wasn't too young. You're never too young to be used by God. If you can figure out who God is and have a relationship with him, he can use you, even as a child. But, you know, people might look down on you because you're young. Have you ever noticed that? I was thinking the other day, when I was like in youth and growing in the things of God and trying to serve the Lord, people used to look down on me. I was the young guy. Now I'm the old bloke. Not so old, thank you. I'll take that. But you know, you go through these phases in life. Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said this, 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, let no one despise you because of your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, and in faith, and in purity. You see, if you have a life that has all of those things, good speech, good conduct, love, faith, and purity, doesn't matter what age you are, people will listen and you will have an incredible effect in people's lives. The second excuse, of course, is the opposite. You're too old. People say, oh, I can't do this, I'm too old. Some of you here are saying that. You're saying, I'm too old for God, to hear the call of God. Look at me at my age. I can't do, you know, I'm too old to hear the call of God. I don't believe so. You see, Many of you will know Doug. He's not here today, and shout out to you, Doug. We love you. He's been a huge part of our church, Doug and Lorna, before Lorna went to be with the Lord. And I remember him saying, man, I came here to retire and I've got to refire. Because, you know, he came here and before he knew it, he was, you know, heading up prayer groups and all this sort of stuff. See, that's God. You're not too old. I'm telling you now, you're not too old. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. Listen to this. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are forever full of sap and green. You see, I want to be that guy who's bearing fruit in my old age. Don't you? Because so many of us, don't, you know, so many even Christians, we say, oh, well, I'm done now. Nothing I can do. But I don't believe that. You're not too old. If you want to flourish and to bear rich fruit in your old age, then God is on side with that. And I also want to do this. In this church, I am never going to withhold an opportunity based on your age. If you are breathing and upright, you're in, you know, because I believe God can speak to us regardless of our age. It's not about our age. It's about our heart. The third reason we often give to the Lord when he calls is that we're too inadequate. And I don't know about you, but when you come closer to God, you start to contrast the greatness of God and the our unworthiness, our sin, our uselessness, our pride, our self-exaltation, our inexperience, our lawlessness, all this stuff. You contrast it with the faithfulness and the might and the majesty of God. But it all comes to light in the gospel. Look back through scripture at all the different guys who did amazing things for God. Moses. Moses said, who am I? Gideon said, how can I save Israel? Saul said, I'm from the smallest tribe. David said, who am I? In 1 Samuel 18:18. Solomon said, I'm only a little child. Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. Job said, my mouth would condemn me. How many of us think that? See, all of these great callings saw the man of God feeling totally inadequate for the task set for him. And if you feel inadequate, take heart, you are in good company. In fact, if you feel inadequate for the job, maybe God has you exactly where he wants you. Because sometimes when we feel a bit more adequate, we take over. And when we feel inadequate, we rest on the Lord and we hold onto his hand tighter. I don't know about you, but I've seen this time and again in my life. I became a pastor straight into the senior pastor position about 5 years ago. And I've got to tell you, I ran 100 miles from this. I did not want to be a pastor at all when God called me. But he called so loudly, I couldn't get out of it. And so I faced a decision. Am I going to be obedient to the Lord or am I going to do my own thing? I had a business which was going well. I used to travel. I still do travel. Well, used to pre-COVID. Remember when you could travel? Is that so long ago? I forgot what the inside of a plane looks like. But, you know, I used to travel a lot all around the world, playing music, all that sort of stuff. And I didn't want to give that up, but God called so clearly. And I ran like crazy for a little bit. And then I realized the reason I was running was that I felt inadequate to do the job that God had called me to do. And I still do at times. Hebrews 13, 21, 20 to 21 says this. May the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. He will equip you. If he calls you, he equips you. If you are truly called, he will equip you and your one life can really count for the Lord. The fourth excuse we come up with is too busy. Does that look like you? Some of us are too busy. This one, you know, people here are trundling it out all the time. I'm too busy to answer your calling. Remember what Jesus told Martha in Luke 10. The Lord has said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So you had Mary sitting at the Lord's feet listening to him. And you have Martha running around doing stuff. And Martha gets upset because everyone wasn't doing as much as she was doing. This could be any church on the planet, right? I'm doing all the work here, you know. But Jesus said, sitting and getting close to me was the more important choice. So if you are too busy for God, you are just too busy. If nothing else, this COVID pandemic has been good in, you know, it's been bad in some ways, but it's been good in one way. It's caused many of us, myself included, to reset and to start operating at a more reasonable pace. Anybody here like that? That's what it's done for me. Because you find that, you know, life just gets busier and busier, and you just kind of go with the flow of that, and you want to serve and you want to love people, so you just do more and more and more. And COVID just came in and went snip and reset everything. And I, for one, am sitting here saying, you know what, I don't want to go back to doing things the way I was doing it before. I still want to serve the Lord. I still want to work hard for Him, and I want to give Him my total being. But I don't want to go back to running around like a chook without a head. See, this was a never-before chance to reset your life, and we're still in it. You've got the chance right now to reset your life, your one life. But you need to stop wasting it on things that don't have long-term value. As Psalm 39 says, surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. It's a beautiful verse there. We go around our whole lives, run around, doing stuff, getting stuff, earning stuff, careers, all that sort of stuff. None of that's bad, but if that is your sole focus, you are missing the point, because none of that is eternal. The fifth reason people don't answer the call of God is they feel they're too disqualified. Have you ever done something in your past that you are ashamed of? My hand is up. There's a few of us. And the rest, you should be ashamed you didn't put your hand up. Maybe something that you've done, feels like you've disqualified from serving the Lord right now. Well, look back again at some of the great Bible heroes. Moses, he was guilty of murder, but he bounced back to be the greatest leader of his people. David was adultery and murder. Gideon, it was cowardice. For Elijah, it was failure and running away. And it was running away for Jonah as well. You see, these guys did amazing things for God, but they had to let go of that stuff, because they had to realize it's forgiven and they could move on. Yes, our past sins. I mean, Peter denied Christ 3 times, but God restored him. Jesus restored him, right? Our past sins have consequences. Even when we repent, they can still carry a devastating consequence. So I remember talking to, it was one of the Lily House girls some years ago, and she said, I've done this and this and this, but I've given my heart to the Lord. Can't all that disappear? And the answer is no. There are still penalties to be paid for those things. But you can get the strength and the grace to go through them if you come to the Lord. See, if you sin, you can disqualify yourself from the calling of God. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He realizes that if we do the wrong things, if we continue in sin, we are disqualified. But if you repent, if you truly turn away from your sin, you can be restored. 1 Peter 5:10. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God is in the business of restoring. You see, sin eats you from the inside out. It really does. It is dangerous. It is destructive. It's like a locust comes through and just clears everything out. It will ruin your walk with God. It will also destroy relationships, your reputation, your ministry, and your life. But as I read my Bible, people often talk about the unforgivable sin, which is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Won't go there this morning. But if there's one unforgivable sin, that means all the others are forgivable sins. So let's get excited, because it doesn't matter what you have done in your past, there is a way forward. God can restore you. Now, when you restore something, so take a car, for example. If you take a car and restore it, what does that mean? It means you've got something that's rusting in a corner with bits falling off it and stuff broken, and you make it as new. You make it as if the years of neglect never happened. You're restored to as new. That's why Joel 2:25 says this, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. See, sin is a locust. It's like a teenage boy. It just eats everything. And, you know, you have a teenage boy in the house, you walk through the kitchen, boom, where'd all that food go? You know? But sin is like that. It eats everything. But God says, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. So you look at your life. Some of you have sinned and spent a lot of time in exile, either by your own hand or someone else's, but you spend a lot of time estranged, a lot of stuff in your life that's been, you know, there's a big hole there. It could be months, it could be years, it could be decades. And God's promise to you this morning is if you listen to him, he will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Sin, guilt, shame, fear, they can all rob you of your destiny, but God wants to restore you. And remember, restore means to make it like it's new. There is still a calling on your life. There is still, God still has things that he wants you to join him in doing. It may be different as a result of your sin. Sometimes our sin, the consequences means we can't operate in that area anymore. But God still has something for you. He still has a calling on you and you can serve him. So what have you done in the past that you feel disqualifies you from the blessing of God? What have you done that you are ashamed of, that you hold on to? It might be divorce. Could be adultery, it could be a failure, could be a stupid decision, could be drugs, could be, you know, it could be anything. But I'm telling you now that if you bring that to the Lord this morning, he will restore. It could be unforgiveness that you're holding on to. It could be a loss you're still feeling, someone that you love who you've lost them for whatever reason. If you bring that to the Lord, he can restore. Won't be the same as before, but he can restore. It might be a fear that you've chosen to live under. Whatever it is today, I'm declaring to you today that God is still calling you and he has a plan to restore you to full fruitfulness. He really does. So today is the day to answer him. See, God is calling you today to serve him, to honor him, to trust him. And every one of you has been given gifts. Is that you, Lord? Every one of you has been given gifts. These are not for yourself to enjoy. These are to serve the body of Christ and to serve the Lord. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this, each one has received a gift to use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So what are the steps? Let me finish up on this. What are the steps that we can take to move down this path to hear God's calling on our life and have that restored to us? When he calls, what are you going to answer? Have you ever picked up on the line's not right and you're talking and the other person saying, I can't hear you. Has that ever happened to you? If you're with Vodafone, that happens a lot. Just saying. But God is speaking to you. You need to be able to hear him and he will hear you. So the first thing is you need to make a decision today to make your one life count. It all starts with a decision. You can decide right here, right now. I'm going to, you know, you can pray right now. In a few moments' time, you can say, Lord, I want my one life to count. It's a simple decision. If you direct your own life, if you have a do-it-yourself Christian thing, then one day you will face death and you will look back on your one life with regret. And you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ with regret because you look back on all the lost opportunities. All the things you should have, could have, would have, but you never did because you didn't respond. So it starts with a simple decision. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got a big decision because you need to ask him into your life because the Bible says if you don't do that, you will face an eternity separated from him in a thing called hell. And hell is not pretty. People say, oh, hell will be all right. I'll be down there with my mates. We'll break out a pack of cards, listen to some AC/DC. We'll be laughing, mate. No, you won't. Hell is the opposite of heaven. Hell is the opposite of everything of God. So what is God? God is light and love and fellowship and joy. Hell is the exact opposite. It's isolation. It's misery. And it goes on forever and ever and ever. As I said, the souls of men and women live forever. So that's what the Bible teaches, and it's your decision today. Do you want to chance that, or do you want to come to Christ? Because this is your moment to give your heart to Jesus Christ, and it will change everything. But for those of you who are Christians, you too will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not about salvation. It's about reward. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So I, for one, do not want to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ with a bunch of lame excuses of why I didn't listen and didn't obey. I want to be there. And I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you? That's what I want. D.L. Moody said this, let God have your life. He can do with it more than you can anyway. And that's so true. It's so true. So you can decide right now to stop directing your one life, because you won't get another shot at this. This is it. If you walk out of here this morning without Christ, or if you walk out of here this morning saying, oh, that was a bit heavy, didn't like that. You know, that's a bit in your face. I'm in your face. I want to be in your face, because this is really important. You get one life. If you blow it, we're done. This is it. You know, you they don't rock up at your place with a hearse for a dress rehearsal. You know, this is the one life. And when you die, that's it. And I want my one life to count. Here at Ignite, we can find ways for you to move towards your destiny and the unique calling that God has on your life. If you are looking for a place to plug in and grow a ministry or move into something like this, is a great place to do it. Because I'm committed to raising men and women up to be all that they could possibly be in God. So that's the first thing, make a decision. The second thing is to let go of the past. Some of you here look back at your past and you go, oh man, that'll disqualify. I can't do it. God will never put up with that. C.S. Lewis said, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. So if you're still hanging onto the bar back here, you just can't move forward until you let go of it. I know I sound like a Disney movie, but let it go, right? Because there's stuff in the past that can ruin your life right now and stop you from moving forward. Isaiah 43 says this, remember not the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. God says, stop dwelling on the stuff from the past, let it go. And I am doing a new thing. That's what God's saying to us this morning. He's making a way in the desert, streams in the wilderness. He has a plan and a purpose for your life if only you will listen. And if you let go of the things of the past, you can't move forward if you hang on to past hurts. You can't move forward if you hang on to past successes either. Lots of people live in the past, back in the glory days. Oh, remember when we did this, you know? You ever seen guys standing around a barbecue talking about all their great triumphs? Oh, I remember back in the day. You remember when we did that? It was so great, you know? Let it go, guys. There's life to be lived right here, right now, in front of you. I'm not saying don't honor it. I'm not saying don't rejoice in it. But you cannot live in it. Because God has a plan, a purpose for you starting right now. The third step is to tune into God. God is broadcasting, but are you receiving? If you don't feel that you and God are on the same wavelength, you need to make a decision right now to say, Lord, I want to be on the same wavelength as you. Can you make that decision? You might not know what it's like to hear God's voice. You may not be sure, but what you can do is say, Lord, I am open. I want to be on the same wavelength as you. We have a Bible reading plan. It's on our website. It's on our church app. If you download the app from the website, it's got a Bible reading plan. We go through the whole Bible in a year, which means we're nearly done. We'll start again. And it's as easy. You can open that app and hit one thing and up will come the passage and read it every day. If you read the Bible every day, suddenly you start to connect and be on the same wavelength as God. It's a miracle. But if you never read the Bible, you will never know who God really is, because you don't spend any time with him. So I want to encourage all of you to spend time, stay connected, and stay connected at church. People say, oh, I can sit in front of the computer. I'm really good. I can cast it to my telly. And I can watch, you know, all these great preachers. I don't need to go to church anymore. Yes, you do, because that's not fellowship. Zoom's not fellowship. Tries to make us think it is, and I thank the Lord for Zoom for a period of time, but I'm over it. Are you over it? I am Zoomed. It's in a past sense. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is hanging out. Fellowship is sharing meals together, opening our hearts and sharing the things that hurt, the things that bless. That's fellowship. And church is about fellowship. Oftentimes God's calling will be manifest and based out of your church. So if you, you know, are not going to church, how's God going to lead you into a ministry that will impact the lives of people? If you're not plugged in with people, the whole purpose of church is to worship together, fellowship together, and serve together. And I believe that God's created a vehicle here at Ignite where we can help you to reach the dreams that you have, to reach out and do the things that will make a difference in other people's lives. This church is committed to helping you reach your dreams in Christ. Have you got a crazy thing you want to do for the Lord? Let me know. If I can help you get there, I will. If it's in the Lord, I'll help you do it. So tune into God, stay close to Him, and He will call you again and again, and He will lead you step by step along the way. If you're not tuned in, you won't hear Him. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's what it's like when you're led by the Spirit of God. That still small voice, you'll be about to do something. And He says, nope, let's go over here. And you can follow. It's an amazing experience. That's why I want to encourage you. Even if you're not enrolled, we've made room for you. If you're new to the church, please join us for 101 after the service. Because what we're going to do is we're going to sit down and go through the DNA of the church and find out where you fit. Because we love people fitting into doing what we're doing here in church and finding a vehicle to reach the heights of the ministry that God has planned for them. The fourth thing that you need to do is to ask God to use you. See, you can love God, you can live for God, and you can still miss His calling. Because the missing piece is, Lord, use me. Isaiah 6 verse 8, Isaiah says this, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, Lord, send me. I love that. You ever prayed that? Here am I, Lord, send me. We usually put a caveat on the end. Send me, just not to Africa or India, you know. But if you say, here am I, Lord, send me, God will open up something incredible in your life. If you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone. If you say to the Lord, here am I, use me, He promises that He will, but only if you're serious. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to this end, we will always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power. So please understand. Please get me as your pastor. I'm not trying to force you to do something you don't want to do. What I want to do is to open an avenue that you can move into. What I want to do is give you a lane to run in. What I want to do is whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you let me know and we will try and make it happen. Because church is about facilitating your ministry, God's ministry through you, and how it dovetails in with other ministries. And I've seen that in my own life. I was a struggling musician, a Christian musician, traveling around various churches around the eastern seaboard of Australia, up and down the coast, and I'd travel. I think my record was I traveled 7 hours each way for seven people and a dog in my little concert there. And that I was doing my best, but nothing was happening. Then an evangelist, a guy that you know, Bill Newman, saw me, and God spoke to him on the day he saw me and said, this is the guy who's going to travel with you for the rest of your life. And so he asked me to join his ministry. And so I went from there to playing stadiums full of people. I didn't do it. God did it because I served, and I came to serve Bill, and then through Bill's ministry, God made something happen. See, that's how God works. He says, here am I, Lord, use me. And then the doors open. You don't say, Lord, you better show me what's going on or I'm not coming. Have that available heart and let Him show you the way. Please understand, I'm not trying to force you to do something you don't want to do. I'm not trying to overburden you or overcommit you. I'm just offering you the chance to reach your dreams in God. Isn't that great? To fulfill the calling of the Lord on your life. So, let me finish here. God is calling, pick up. How many of you know when a phone goes and no one picks it up, it's irritating? Is it irritating? It's really irritating in a meeting. And everybody's looking at one another. Whose phone is that? Whose phone is that? And you feel like saying, just pick the thing up, for goodness sake. Just, you know, hit reject or pick it up. Just, you know, don't let it ring. Because there's something about us, we want to answer a call. We really do. And you may not know what your calling is, but He has a calling for you just the same. Make yourself available and He will call you to serve somewhere. You can just attend church your whole life. You can waste your whole life if you choose. but I'm begging you to reconsider, because God has a calling on the life of many of you, all of you, in fact. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather make a difference in this world rather than just pass through it, wouldn't you? When I go to be with the Lord, I would like to live a life that was so wonderful that when I died, even the undertaker was sad. Wouldn't that be great? If you lived a life that made such a difference in people's lives. But you've got to invest in God, His Word, and the lives of the souls of men and women. So God is saying this morning, come to me, be committed, be available, be true to me. Ask me to open up a destiny that goes beyond anything you could imagine. He's saying, come and let me transform your one life into a life that really matters, not just for now, but long into eternity. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, whoever stays in me, whoever lives in me, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can build the biggest empire out there, but without him, you are nothing in eternity. Hebrews 4:7 says this, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And let me add, don't harden your hearing either. I believe God is calling people this morning. He's calling you to commit to him, and he will open up a destiny that will blow your mind. Trust me, I'm living it right now. Why don't you bow your heads in prayer up in the chapel at the house party? Just bow your heads in prayer. Lord, we want to open our hearts to you. Your word says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you. And I know the Lord has put many a calling in people's lives. And he continues to develop that. You're not too old. You're not too young. Whatever it is, don't be too unavailable. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. If God is speaking to you, I want to do something a little bit different this morning. We can't get you forward and lay hands and all that sort of stuff. But if God is speaking, if you have a calling in your life, I want you to stand where you are. Up in the chapel, out at the house party as well. Just stand where you are. I know there's, I'm hoping it's all of you. I hope you all know that there's a calling of God on your life. But just stand where you are. Because I just want to do something special with you. Just search your heart. If you believe God has a calling, maybe it's one you're moving in. Maybe it's one you haven't even explored yet. Maybe you need to contact Deb at Lily House and find a way to do it. But if God has a calling on your life, just stand where you are. And I ask you to do this, to make your hands into a little cup. Just like that. And just imagine that in that cup is all of your regrets and all of your pain and all of the things that have held you back. It's all of your fears. It's your fear of commitment. It's your fear of having to pay a cost. Just imagine that. It's in your hands now. And I want you to say these words with me. Lord Jesus, I give you all of these pains, all of these fears, all of the times that I've not listened. I ask you, forgive me for them, and that you fill me with your purpose and with your Holy Spirit. Now just turn your hands upside down like this, and I want you to just picture all of those things falling to the ground. They're gone. They're finished. You've given them to the Lord. Now put your hands back in a little cup. So, Lord, this is my life. Say that with me. This is my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you hear every prayer that's uttered today, here, online, in the chapel, the house party. Lord, we want to be a people who know you, love you, and serve you. We want to give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, I want to give you the opportunity to do it, because I cannot let you leave here with a life that is careering towards hell. I don't want that for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And all you need to do is to ask Jesus into your life right now. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for everything I've done. He will forgive you, and you can ask him into your life right now. So let's just bow our heads again. Wherever we are, here in the chapel of the house party, wherever. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I want you to say these words after me. Let's get this thing sorted right now. Let's open up the way for the greatest calling and destiny on your life, that it will blow your mind. Because being a Christian is the greatest life bar none. If you've never asked him into your life, or if you've wandered far from him, maybe you did it before and you've wandered away, this is your moment to come back and get it right. Just say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I turn away from my sin and turn to you. And I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for giving me eternal life. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm just going to ask you very quickly to shoot your hand up and put it down. I'm not going to call you forward or anything. Just shoot your hand up. This is between you and God. And put it down very quickly. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. As we go to discussion groups, Lord, we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us. Lord, that we will be able to bear our heart to one another. But most of all, Lord, we want to respond to you. We want to be obedient to you. And so as we go to discussion groups, let those words ring in our ears. Here am I, Lord. What does it say? Send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, we commit this morning to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you at the house party, and we'll say goodbye to the chapel as well.